Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, and it begins with these words from the Sermon on the Plains, where Luke chronicles this message of Jesus, beginning with verse 27. He says, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you." Wow, what a start. What a challenge, and it gets no easier from here as Jesus proclaims this challenging text to us as his people. Even as us modern day listeners and followers in the ways of Christ struggle with this message as it was first proclaimed, we question in our hearts and in our minds, how could we love like that? How can we love our enemies? How can we pray for those who strive to hurt us, in the words of our Lord? How can we bless those who curse us? I think it's essential as we strive as people of Christ to take on His nature in this text, to remember that it is essential in our faith to not be so much about proclaiming what we're against as practicing and proclaiming what we're for. Let me say it this way. I shared earlier that our beloved coach, Steve Willie, won game number 600 this week. And there's been a long-standing saying, at least in football, and maybe it would apply in basketball and softball, Jana, that defense wins championships. Maybe that's true, correct? You have to have a little offense as well. But my dear friend that once coached ball and realized that defense wins championships, but offense sure makes it more fun to watch. My friend Jim Futrell, the executive director of the Mississippi Baptist Convention, says this: so often in our faith, we're so eager to tell everybody what we're against instead of proclaiming and practicing what we're for. Jim would say it this way: it's not just about defense, it's about offense. What are we for as people of Christ? If we are just angry about what we're against, and so eager to proclaim what we're not, instead of practicing God's love, certainly we're missing the mark of moving our faith forward. Isn't that what offense does? Offense, whether it be in sport or in the church, is about moving from this point forward. It's taking the gospel to the world around us. It's proclaiming God's love to those around us. And it's changing the world for the glory of our Lord. So as we embody this message where Christ says, bless those who curse you, it begins, I do believe, as He said, it begins in prayer. Because friends, it's not in us. It's certainly not in me, and I suspect it's not in you, to love those who are hard to love. So we receive not only this commission of Jesus where He says, pray for those who hurt us or maybe even are our enemies, but the prayer, the call for prayer, is also the guidance of how we do love like that. Just as we shared our prayer for illumination this morning, as we do each Sunday, when we reflect in this sermon, we're petitioning. We're crying out to the Holy Spirit, God, help us. Help us to hear your word. Help us to take the words of life here in Holy Scripture and apply it to the world around us, in our family, in our schools, in our work. So as we strive to be those who embody this radical love that Jesus is preaching about today, it begins, church, in prayer. It begins in surrender. In humbly saying, God, I can't do it. I can't love like that. I can't look like you to a world in need. He goes on to say, in the radical challenge of this text, in verse 29, if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, don't ask for them again. Y'all need to help me with this. I feel much more like Lyle Lovett than I do Jesus in this text right here. You remember that song that Lyle Lovett sang once? If you've never heard it, let me tell you the lyrics. Lyle Lovett sings this song and he says, who keeps on trusting you when you've been cheating and spending all your nights out on the town? Who keeps on saying that he still wants you when you're through running around? And who keeps on loving you when you've been lying, saying things ain't what they seem? God does, but I don't. God will, but I won't. And that's the difference between God and me. I feel a lot more like Lyle Lovett than Jesus today. How do we hear this word where he says, turn the other cheek and give even if someone takes from us? Now certainly as we hear this text, we also wrestle with other places in Scripture where it says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. How do we balance these texts of turning the other cheek and not being a doormat in our faith as well? You see, I think the importance of this call is for us as people of Christ to embody His nature of love always. You see, I think that's the essence of what Christ is saying to us this morning. That love is not easy. That true love that looks like our Lord sounds like this: to even turn the other cheek of one who attacks you. The love he calls us to as he continues here when he says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. You see, that's the essence of what our Lord is saying to us. In many ways, when we hear this text of turning the other cheek, if they take our coat, to give us our cloak also, we think about that, and I receive in that, maybe that is the call to extreme grace. I remember early in my ministry as one prior to ordination even, preaching and trying to understand the depths of God's grace that we still sing about even today, saying how amazing it is that we can't fathom the magnitude of God's love. And I reflected upon a person that I had pastored for a time, and he seemed to me in some ways to be the embodiment of God's grace. He was a hard-working man. He took care of his family who wouldn't take care of themselves. His children were all, well, let me just say, deadbeats. They didn't hit a lick at a snake. And he took care of everyone. His wife was obese. He enabled her illness by never saying no to her request and never holding his children accountable. So on the surface, as we would look at someone who was giving always, we might perceive that as grace, but I was challenged even as a young minister to understand, no, grace. Grace is always, friends, rooted in love. Grace is not always saying yes. And surely grace, even as we wrestle with this text of Jesus today, is not always turning the other cheek. There is a time when we also say enough in the spirit of love. But we never say no. We never stop loving. We always proclaim God's love through our actions. See, when we do that, even if we have to say no to family, it's love. We express God's love through our yes by being His hands and feet to those He's entrusted us to most of all, and yes, even the neighbor outside of our door. And we strive to embody that love always through prayer. Jesus continues His message by saying, in verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Our Lord seems to be telling us, if the world outside of these walls is going to see and believe in Jesus Christ, we have to show them His love. We have to be different. In a world that's filled with hate and vindication and everyone saying what they're against, we as the church must proclaim fervently and effectively what we're for. We are love. We are the hope. As we sang about in our anthem this morning, may we as a church pray that God will make us a channel of His peace, proclaiming His goodness, setting ourselves apart. When those who look upon us, may they see the radical love and nature of Christ that is relentless. It's in being the church that we inspire and grow the church and grow the faith and help even the world around us come to the saving knowledge of our Lord. Yes, may our actions speak so loudly that at times our words cannot be heard as we practice God's love and show Christ to those around us. Jesus continues His message in verse 35. By saying, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be called children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Our Lord's also telling us why to love, because it applies to us as well. Yes, we love for the neighbor outside. We love to proclaim the gospel and saving grace of our God through our actions. But we also love, friends, because our actions matter in our relationship with God. Yes, we believe and proclaim that we're saved by grace. It's God's mercy and grace for us that gives us the gift of salvation. We do nothing to earn that gift. We simply receive the gift that God has given to us. But yet, our actions still matter. There are consequences. now and in heaven. God's grace and His rewards for us in heaven certainly are measured by how we treat the world around us. Scripture tells us about treasures being stored up in heaven instead of on earth. What we do matters. It shares God's love for those around us. And as we are unwilling to judge and condemn the world around us, so God embraces us with that mercy. You see, friends, we yearn for the mercy of God. Not just God's grace, as we've spoken of before. God's grace is giving us what we don't deserve, the gift of life. God's mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. May we share the mercy that we've received with the world around us. May we be slow to anger. May we pray that we can love even our enemy so that the world will see in us God's love. The scripture for today ends with verse 38, where Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back." You see, our Lord has just spoken about mercy. Us not getting what we deserve. If we don't judge, we will not be judged. But here He says to us, friends, it's not all for naught. Yes, we live radically and strive to live out God's love and the nature of Christ in everything we do. But look at the blessing that comes back to us. There is a blessing in walking in the joy and the grace of God. There is power in God's love to change our lives and the world around us. You know, one of my favorite Disney movies is Monsters Incorporated. Some of us have seen that movie where Sully, the big scary monster, and his little sidekick, Mike, work for this industry that produces power for their community. Kind of like Tipple Electric. How about that? Except in this monster land, the power is generated by fear. These mean, scary monsters sneak into children's bedrooms at night and they scare them, and the power from those yells and screams produce energy that lights homes and warms them on cold evenings. But throughout the course of the movie, near the very end, by accident, the monsters discover a power greater than fear. A power that overcomes evil and terror, and that power, stronger even than that, was laughter and what I would call love. You see, I think Sully and Mike got it right. Friends, hate is powerful. Evil is real. It's hard to embody the nature of our Lord in this radical call to faith that Christ has spoken of today. But when we do, may we know we truly are practicing the most powerful thing on earth. If you, dear church, want to change the world, if you, dear church, want to conquer hate, if you, dear people of faith, want to walk more like Christ, may we embody His love and see the power of our Lord to transform our lives and the world around us forever. Let's pray. God, we are grateful for your call upon our life. For this challenge to radically love those around us, even those who are unlovable. And you call us, O God, that when we embrace your nature, that not only do we reflect your love for the sake of those around us, but we know the joy of your love when we practice it in our own life. Thank you for this gift of grace. May we be your hands and feet as we serve the world around us in your love and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.